Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we come to rejoice and be glad in it, because the Lord is good. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is kind. God is awesome. Happy Monday morning to all of you. I hope and pray you had a great weekend. We had an awesome time at First Baptist, and I hope and pray that God is blessing you as you begin your Monday in prayer and with a word. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Today is day 17. Day 17. Can you believe it? We're almost to the halfway mark, and it's downhill from there. We are thankful to God for how God is preserving us and keeping us while we're fasting and praying together. Well, I'm going to get right to the word. The word this morning is coming to us from Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 1. And I only want to read one verse, that's verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3. In your own personal private time with God, I would encourage you to read the entire first chapter of Hebrews, which I know will be a blessing for your life. Before our time this morning, we want to just look at verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what the word of the Lord says. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Ooh, I love it. I love it. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk about oh, the glory. Oh, the glory. Beloved, the glory of God can be viewed in many ways. The glory of God is described as an example of the work, witness, and worthiness of God. The work, witness, and worthiness of God. In fact, beloved, in Exodus, the glory of God is what filled the temple and led the people of Israel. In Romans, it tells us that we fall short of the glory of God. Means that it's something we ought to strive toward, but is really unattainable due to sin. In 1 Corinthians, it reminds us to do all things to the glory of God. That everything we do for the glory of God. So glory, or the glory of God, is seen as God's honor, majesty, and worthiness. But glory, while truly unattainable in some vein, is still something that we all should strive to try to live up to. We should strive to live up to the glory of God. We ought to remember that God deserves glory. We must remember that we have to strive to give God glory by all that we do. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. Oh, the glory. So what should we know then, Pastor Jones, about the glory of God? Right here in this one verse, I think are three things that are key to understanding the glory of God. Number one, the first thing we ought to understand is that Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory. Look at verse 3a clause. It tells us that the sun, that's Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. What does that mean, that he is the radiance of God's glory? Well, what we should understand and know about God's glory is that God's glory is the brilliance and majesty that we can never penetrate. It's like an aura or a glory ring that rings around. around God. And so the radiance of God is God's brilliance. It is God's majesty. It is God's radiance. And so Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2 says it like this: Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment, and he stretches out the heavens like a tent. So think of it this way, that the radiance of God's glory is something that is around God that demonstrates God's brilliance. And the closest thing that we have to seeing evidence of God's glory is through the Son, Jesus Christ. So, beloved, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we experience the radiance and majesty and brilliance of God. So it is important then, beloved, the more we come close in relationship to Christ, the more we're able to experience the radiance of God, because Jesus Christ is the radiance of God, the beauty, the majesty, the brilliance that surrounds God. But the only way we can conceptualize it is in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of God. The second thing we ought to understand about the glory of God is that not only is Jesus Christ the radiance of God, but Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God. He is the exact representation of God. Look at the B clause of verse 3. It says here, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Ooh, so beautiful. And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Beloved, verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1 says this: but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he has made the universe. What is this telling us? This is telling us that God speaks through Jesus, and that he is the one who is appointed by God to be the heir over all things. The universe is evidence that Jesus Christ and God exist, because God used Jesus to speak the universe into being. Now, what this means as it relates to God's glory is that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God. He is the exact imprint of God. By God, through Jesus, was all things sustained, and by God, through Jesus, was all things made. Now, there's a technical term for that, and it's called the hypostatic union between God and Christ. It is the nature and character of God in Christ Jesus. It's just a fancy way of saying that Jesus Christ and his glory, the glory of God, is the exact representation of God. So think of it this way: the glory of God is visible in radiance, and the glory of God is audible in representation through Jesus Christ. That means we see the glory of God through Jesus, and we hear the glory of God through Jesus. The two are connected, and Jesus Christ demonstrates for us the glory of God, both the visible glory of God and the audible glory of God through the things that were made in the world. Oh, the glory of God. But there's one more thing I want to show you. Not only is Jesus Christ the radiance of God's glory, and not only is Jesus Christ the exact representation of God and his glory, But then the third thing I want you to know is that Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God. Look at the C clause of verse number 3. It says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so, beloved, we see here, after he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. What we must understand about this is that the only person worthy to be seated at the right hand of the majesty of God is the one who brings glory to God through the work that he has done. The reason why, beloved, we ought to strive to lift up the glory of God, we ought to strive to try our best to work for God and his kingdom, is because in the end, because we are joint heirs with Christ, we too will be able to receive a great reward from God. The reward that Jesus receives is that he is seated at the right hand of majesty. Now, whenever a person is seated at the right hand of a king, this is any ordinary, normal, lowly, earthly king, they are found trustworthy, and there then is honor bestowed on them, and they are given absolute power and the authority of the king, being the right hand of the king. So why does Jesus receive this honor? Because of the work that he did. What is the work that Jesus did? The Bible tells us that he provided purification for sin. In other words, through his blood, he purged us from our sins. He purged us from the penalty of our sins. So, beloved, he's seated at the right hand of majesty, and he represents the glory of God. He is the radiance of God, and that's how we get a glimpse of the glory of God, through Jesus Christ. All the glory that comes through his presence, the glory that comes through his power, and the glory that comes through purging of our sins. Beloved, we ought to always strive to do our best for the glory of God, and we ought to always strive to give God glory because he's worthy of it all. Jesus Christ is the closest thing we'll come to ever experiencing God's glory on this side. So let us work hard to lift up God and to give him glory. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come this Monday morning thanking you for your glory, for your brilliance, for your radiance, for the fact that, Lord God, your glory spans the heavens, for the fact that, Lord God, you are wrapped up in light, for the fact, Lord God, that the radiance is shown around you. And thank you, Lord God, because we are not able to even fathom in our current form your radiance and your glory. But you sent Jesus Christ to earth, glory wrapped in flesh, and you allowed your glory, Lord God, to shine among men and women on earth. And Lord God, we as believers today get a glimpse of God's glory through Jesus, through our relationship with him. So thank you, Lord God, for your glory. Thank you, Jesus, for the glory that we receive through you. Now help us, Lord, to strive to do our best to be like you, to serve you, Lord God, because you purged our sins. Thank you, Lord God, for the power that you gave us by way of your word. And thank you, God, for your presence that yet remains with us. We're going to continue to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, then you understand the importance of the glory of God. Take the glory of God with you. Strive to do your best present God's glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Day 17. Y'all be blessed on this Monday. Amen.